Isn't Christmas a funny time? You wait for it all year, and then it just comes and goes in a blink. So it's just one of those things. You get all the presents ready. We're upside down. Can you believe that? So turn upside down. But it's gone here today, gone tomorrow. And there we go. So Christmas will be over before we know it, unfortunately. But all of our kids are looking forward to it so much because they love Santa Claus, but we love Jesus more. So that's good news. This morning, hey, let's just pray for just a second, and we'll just settle our hearts. Lord, I just thank you for your presence this morning. I thank you, Lord, that we are here because of you. We stand because of you. And I thank you this morning that we have a hope that will not die, Lord, because our hope is in you, and our hope is found in you. Lord, I pray this morning, whatever worries, whatever stresses, whatever anxieties are, Lord, I pray we just leave them off, Lord. In the Old Testament, it talks about leaving things at the altar, Lord. I pray we just leave them at the altar this morning. Just leave them at your feet. And realize that God wants to help us and lift us up. This morning again, Lord, you haven't come to condemn us, but you've come to save us, and you always want to continue to save us. Lord, I thank you that you're always saving, you're always reaching out to us, you're always helping us, you're always lifting us up. And I ask your Holy Spirit this morning, you would come and just rest our hearts this morning in your precious name. Amen, amen, amen. So it's good to be here. Proverbs 19:6, I'm going to ask Paul to put it up, or 16:9, it says this: we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. I just had this verse, just thinking about it just this last couple of days. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. And it's kind of like a precursor of what I want to speak about this morning. I was thinking about the Christmas story, and we're going to look at a portion of it this morning, hopefully to encourage us, lift us up. But I just want to start off with this verse, that we can make our plans. We can have all the best plans in the world. We're planning for this, we're planning for that. I mean, you're planning to get your turkey, or you've got your turkey. But I mean, this turkey could run away. I'm joking. The turkey is dead. He's not going anywhere. But here's the good news: the Lord determines our steps. So even in the best of our plans, even when we have good plans, you know what can happen with plans. They can just suddenly disappear. They can change. They can go left and go right and go up or down. They can just be totally destroyed. But here's a hope that we need to rest on this morning. We can make our plans, but it really is the Lord who determines our steps. And so that's where I want to start with this morning. We serve an unstoppable God. And this is the theme. This is what I'm thinking about today. We're serving an unstoppable God. And the reason we're going to look at it this morning is because the Christmas story, as perfect as it is, it was not a perfect story in the sense of all did not go to plan. All did not go in the sense of our plans. But I still believe God was determined in the steps. He was working out his moves. He was working where he came in, where he stepped out, where he went here, where he went there. But when you read the story, you can see lots of ups and downs. You can see lots of trials, lots of challenges, even in the early parts. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. It's amazing to think when you think about Christmas and you think about Christmas stories or Christmas movies, you just imagine them in the back of your mind, like everything was perfect. Everything worked out. Nothing ever went wrong. But in any story, in any plan, there's always ups and downs. There's always stops. There's always restarts. And this morning, we're going to look at a portion of that story today. But just to emphasize the point, we serve an unstoppable God. So no matter what comes our way, we can trust him. We serve an unstoppable God. Why? Because he's all-powerful. There is just nobody more powerful than our God. This is something to know this morning, because even as a helpless babe in a manger, he was still more powerful than any man that had ever lived. He was still more powerful. He was Jesus Christ. He was baby born in the manger, but he was still our Savior. He didn't suddenly one day become powerful. He was still all powerful. He was still Jesus. He was him. He's all-powerful. We serve an unstoppable God. He has plans and purposes. This is why our God is unstoppable, because there is no plans that any man could have that could be greater than God's plans. We can make our plans, but ultimately it will be God who determines our steps. This is why he is unstoppable. His purposes are far greater than ours could ever be. And why can he do all of this? Because his resources are infinite. His resources are unlimited. You will never meet anybody that has resources unlimited. You will meet someone that says, I've got quite a few resources. I've got quite a few this. I've got quite a few that. Or maybe you see your broadband or your connection, your internet coming in, says high-speed broadband unlimited. But when you read that, there's an asterisk usually beside it, and you read the bottom line and it says fair usage applies. Because there's always a limit. There's always a fairness that has to be applied. Because if everybody wants to go unlimited, where are we going to get it from? Because our world is limited. Our God is unstoppable because he is limitless. And this is what we need to think about this morning. And of course, he is also sovereign. I love this. He is sovereign. God is sovereign. What does that mean? He is in control. So no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, he still has a plan, he still has a purpose, he is still well fit and well able to turn it around, he is still able to supply all of your needs, he is still in control. And so maybe as we come up to Christmas and we're just going this way and that way and we're fussing and, I don't know, we're just going everywhere, we need to know God is in control. Christmas story, I said it, we think of it, when you think back, sometimes when I think about this Christmas story, especially when you think of Sunday school days, you think to yourself, wow, it was just like Jesus came, born in a manger, grew up, saved the world, you know? That's kind of the way you can remember the story. But it's not even close to that. The detail, all the truth is in the detail of what ups and downs, all the things that Jesus had to go through. And we're going to look at the story of Herod this morning. We played a series of videos last night. In one of the videos, it kind of captured this moment, but just for the sake of time, we're not going to look at it this morning. But part of the Christmas story I want to look at this morning is the story of Herod. Because in the midst of all what was perfect that was going on, Jesus coming, being born, all this good stuff, there was somebody else that had a plan. There was somebody else that had a plan to take Jesus out because he was not happy. And so we're going to read the story today, and hopefully we're going to get some comfort from it. Never does any story or ever plan rarely ever go from A to B. There's usually always an alphabet in between, and it's usually A to Z, and we unfortunately have to work our way through till then. It says in Matthew 2, verse 1, let's read it together. It says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea. This is a real event. It happened. It is not just a story in the past. This is true. We're banking on it. We believe in it. We have faith in it. We know it. During the reign of King Herod, about the time some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. So here we have the wise men. They've come to King Herod. They've said to him, where is this king? We want to worship him. And so already you should be hopefully starting to prick up your ears and you prick up your thoughts because they've come to the king, but they've told the king who's reigning that they've come to meet another king who's just been born. And in those days, like any days, everybody's threatened. Everybody is threatened by the new kid on the block. And so King Herod's thinking to himself, who is this king? Who is this king that had a star? I never had a star. You know what I mean? No wise men ever came to follow me. And so his mind's starting to tick over, and hopefully we're going to see that it wasn't just all roses, but there was some problems along the way. Verse 3 says this, King Herod was deeply disturbed. Here's where his true feelings start to come out. He was deeply disturbed. I mean, they could write it in lots of different ways, but they were trying to emphasize he was not happy. He was not happy at all. When he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem, he called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? Where is this Messiah supposed to be born? Now, everybody else in the picture so far are really glad with what's happening. King Herod is not glad. He wants to know where he's being born for a different agenda. He is not coming to do good, but he wants to come to do bad. You know, in life, you're going to face strange questions. It's going to seem like people are asking a good question, but really, they're looking for the answer to do something bad. And here's what Herod is saying this morning. He says, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? He wants to know. Verse 7, it says, then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time the star first appeared. Then he told them, go to Bethlehem, search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. King Herod, he just wants to worship him. That's all that he wants to do. You know, unfortunately in life, and we're going from point A to point B, there's some people out there that are like wolves in sheep's clothing. They do not want you to achieve. And when they achieve, they'll find some way that says, but you didn't do that by yourself, or you didn't do that, or you didn't achieve what you thought, or they're always looking for something. And so here you have King Herod, and he's saying to these wise men, if you could only show me, I would love to go and worship. But his motives were not for worship. His motives were for murder. says in verse 10, when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. You couldn't get a more contrasting picture. You couldn't get it. One person is just overwhelmed with rage and he's disturbed and he wants to find the king. And you've got these three wise men. Maybe that's why they're called the wise men. And they're overwhelmed with joy, filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I want to just stop for just a moment and just think about our first point today. We're going to read it in verse 12 in just a moment. We serve an unstoppable God because he's capable of supernatural intervention. You know, even in the midst of God's plan, because this is God's son, this is God's plan, this is God's son coming to earth, he's coming on a rescue mission, he's coming as a baby, and eventually he's going to go and save the world. Now, you would think, if this was God, and this is God's son, he's going to set it up so it's going to be perfect the whole way along. But unfortunately, we live in a broken world. If we didn't live in a broken world, then there was no need for Jesus to ever come. If everything was perfect, why did we need the perfect one? We needed him to come to do something. And so when Jesus came, he entered into an imperfect world, and so then had to follow in with kind of the rules and regulations of the world. But his father was still capable of bursting in at any moment. And I want to encourage you this morning that you might be going through seasons in your life and you think to yourself, well, God's called me here and God's told me to do this. Invariably, in most of those occasions, there's always trials. In fact, they're usually the biggest trials. They're usually the biggest challenges. Maybe the thing that you're facing today is the biggest trial, the biggest challenge you've ever had, and yet you're fervently praying, just as the Bible tells you. You know, if you fervently pray, you'll achieve much. That's what the Bible tells us. And yet, you're praying and you're believing and you're not seeing much at all. You're seeing little. But this morning, I'm hoping that we're going to get something from this story in terms of this is God's son, and yet he went through so many risky situations and so many trials. But God is capable of supernatural intervention. I want us to read verse 12 together. It says, when it was time to leave, the wise men are about to leave. They returned to their own country by another route. Why? For God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. You see, man has got plans, but God has got bigger plans. Man has plans for this and for that, but God has plans bigger than those. And we need to trust God this morning inside of the plans that we have. And plans are great. Strategies are great. Ideas are great. And careers are great. And all those different paths that we try to take in life are great. But there will be challenges. There will be trials. But we don't necessarily need to worry. I don't believe we need to worry this morning too much, because worry is a bad thing. But instead, rest in God, because he is capable to intervene at the right and the most appropriate situations. And in this situation, you see it. It says, God warned them in a dream. Can God speak in dreams? I mean, like, if somebody comes in this morning and tells us that God spoke to them in a dream, we're like, wow, that's amazing. That must be a new thing. God's been speaking in dreams right back from the turn of time. Here he is, right back 2,000 years ago. They've got no mobile phones. They've got no internet. They've got no SMS. They've got no WhatsApp, Snapchat, whatever. They've got none of this. God says, don't even worry about it. I will just go straight into a dream and I will intervene. I will go straight into your mind. I will go straight into your dreams and I will speak to you. And this morning, I want us to realize we have an unstoppable God. Not only can he speak to us in the form of scripture, not only can he speak to us in the form of a friend or a colleague, but he can speak to us in a dream and he can warn us from the risks that might be in front of us, or from the deadly attack that could be in front of us, which Jesus could have happened to him. He's a God of supernatural intervention. Number two, he's an unstoppable God because he sees the bad before we do. Verse 13 says this, after the wise men were gone, they don't even know at this point why they went a different route. They don't know. They just assume that God's just told them, okay, we'll just go this way because we follow God's voice. But God's able to see the bad before we do. And I think, again, this is great comfort, because we see the bad, and when we see it, we get really down. We get really attacked. We feel really like, why is this happening? Why? I thought I was doing this. I thought I was supposed to go here. I thought I was on the right path. Why is it all going wrong for me? I want to assure you this morning, he's an unstoppable God. He has seen the bad before it's even occurred. He has seen what is coming up before it has even happened, because he knows the beginning from the end, and he knows absolutely everything in between. Verse 13 says this, after the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord. Now we've had dreams, and now we're going to get angels. God is able to use whatever he needs to use, because he is a supernatural, unstoppable God this morning. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Wow. Now we're having dreams, angels and dreams. This is just unbelievable. Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother. The angel said, stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. This is how serious it is. God has sent his only begotten son into the world, and there's a king on another throne who wants to kill him. There's a king on another throne. Now, if that is me or you, we're just freaking out. We're like, what are we going to do? Who are we going to turn to? Where are we going to run to? What are we going to do? God had already seen it. He already had a plan. He already had a purpose in it. He was already planning to turn bad into good. He was already working behind the scenes. And so what I want to suggest to you this morning is, when you see it, it's already too late. God's already got a plan. He's already got it figured out. He already knows what's going to happen. And so when we see it, hopefully in this verse, we just know, no need to worry. No need to worry. God has already seen it. He already knows it. He's already got a plan, because he's an unstoppable God. He sees the future before we've even went to it. He sees the bad before we've even got to it. He even sees the good before it's even happened, because he is a God who sees the future. He knows it. He knows tomorrow. He knows the next day. He knows what we face. He knows what we go through. And yet he is working a plan. He is working out character. He is taking off the rough edges. He is making them smooth. He is doing something in your heart, in your life. What is our number one thing? Have faith and trust. Have faith and trust. Have faith and trust. It is childlike faith this morning. Our God is ahead of the game. He sees the future. He sees the whole picture. I am so glad that God sees the whole picture. He sees the whole picture. Because we see this part, we see in part. There's a verse in the Bible that doesn't mean this in a sense, but we see in part. One day we'll see in full, because we'll see what God sees. But God sees the full picture. He knows exactly what is going to happen. He sees the beginning from the end. He's got a plan. He never fails. He is in control this morning. And I don't know what you're facing. I'm not sure what you're going through. But if we could get these words to rest in our hearts, they will change our lives. What Jesus teaches, what the Bible tells us, it is all very simple. What we tend to do is make it very complicated. We're very forgetful. We're very complicated people. God says, keep it simple. Just keep it simple. Just pray to me. Trust me. Relax. Chill out. Enjoy. Whenever you face something, you will overcome, because I've made you an overcomer. I have it figured out. I have it planned. Third thing this morning, our God is unstoppable, because in the midst of chaos, he's fulfilling his plans. In the midst of all the chaos, God is still turning bad into good. In the midst of all the chaos, God has a plan. He will turn it around, and actually, in fact, he will turn it around for his glory and for his good. And I want us to read it this morning. There's not a verse in this, but it says that Herod's brutal attack fulfilled what God had spoken. You know, Herod had planned to take Jesus out, but God already knew he was going to do that. In fact, he knew he was going to do it, so that's why he sent the angel. That's why why the guys had the dream. That's why the wise men didn't go back to him. He knew it was going to happen. But in that bad happening, it actually fulfilled a prophecy that was prophesied way years before. God was fulfilling things, even in the bad. Even in the bad that will happen to us, even in the challenges that will face us, God is actually doing something in them so much bigger than we can contemplate and so much bigger than we can realize. And now looking back with the help of hindsight, I mean, there's critics that are looking in and going, wow, I mean, this must be God, because even in the bad, he's still fulfilling prophecy. Even in the things when other people are trying to do them, he's still fulfilling prophecy. How can he be in control of somebody else doing this? Because our God knows the beginning from the end. He is in control. He is sovereign. He is Lord over all. He is turning all the bad into purpose. I believe that this morning. He is turning all the trials into purpose. He is turning all the bad into purpose this morning. What are the bad things? What are the hard things? What are the difficult things that we are facing? I believe God is turning those into purpose this morning. He is using all he can to produce good in you. Nothing is wasted. I want to encourage you this morning. I believe nothing is wasted. You think of when you're making something, maybe baking a cake, or you might be making some buns. The finished product is amazing. But if you were to eat any one of those single ingredients by themselves, not that nice. You know what I mean? You have to whip up the eggs. I mean, who wants to eat raw eggs? I mean, you know, you just don't want to do it. But when you put it together in the right conditions with the right ingredients, bringing all those things that seemingly aren't that tasty and aren't that good, and you would say probably are a bit bad. You know, if Bethany or Jessica was here, they'd say disgusting. They're just going to tell you like it is. That's disgusting. Even if it's good and they don't like it, they're going to tell you it's disgusting. You know, And so in life, you can see that there are bad things that come in. There are challenges that come in our way. But I think just like a creator, just like a baker, just like a creator, to bring all those things together. And when he brings all those things together, they become beautiful. They become beautiful. You know, maybe whatever your favorite colors are. I don't know what your favorite colors are. If Dave was here this morning, he's an artist, or anybody else that's an artist, is going to be able to tell you. There may be some colors that you like, and there may be some colors that you love, and there may be some colors that you don't like. But to get the colors that you want and the colors that you really love, you got to mix them together. I mean, pink is not a color that comes out. In fact, we love pink, but we got to mix a few other colors together to get pink, and then we get the color that we love. You know, sometimes you got to bring a mix of things together. You got to bring the good and the bad together, and that's what's going to produce the finished result. And I want to encourage you this morning, what are the trials, what are the temptations, what are the horrible things at times that you're going through? They're increasing you. They're working together. God has drawn all those things together to produce good in you. And inside of all that, he has proven his greatness. He has proven his authority. He has proven his sovereignty and has proven his peace this morning. He is an unstoppable God. And our final point this morning, an unstoppable God, he reigns forever, and every foe and every trial will end. Let's read verse 19 together. I want to encourage you this morning, there will be an over. It says, when Herod died, whenever your problem dies, whenever your problem comes to an end, you know, we don't even really need the rest of the verse because the first three words is exactly what we need to know. When Herod died, you know, up until this point, he was like the biggest thing anybody could ever see. But God could see the end, and he knew that one day he was going to die and that God was going to reign forever. He knew that one day that problem was going to be over. And I want to encourage you this morning, there's coming a day when your problem will be over, when your issue will be finished, because God knows the beginning from the end. Those first three words, for everybody else, it might have been a relief. For God, it was just, I knew it was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen. It was inevitable. When Herod died, it says the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph. He comes again, because he can come in many forms, shapes and sizes. It does not matter. God came to Joseph in a dream. He says, get up, the angel said. Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead. God's still got a plan. He's still working something out. And why did God want him to come back? Because one of the prophecies was that Jesus was going to become a Nazarene. He needed to get him back to Nazareth. He needed to get him back. And so this morning, there may have to be some movement on your journey. There may be at times places where you end up going to and even staying in that you never wanted to go to. You know what I mean? I'm not suggesting that God's going to call you off to Africa. He may well do. But there may be times in your life where, like, I had a plan. I'm going to go this way in my career, and I ended up here. You know, I had a plan in my life. I was going to always live, I don't know, Portadown. You want to always live in Portadown. That was a place for you, and you ended up in Tandragee. I don't know, like, if that's a bad or a good thing, but you just didn't end up in the place that you wanted to be. And then eventually there was an over. Eventually there was an over, and then you get the purpose. And this morning it may not be that someone's out to kill you. It may not be that someone's out to kill you. It may feel like that at times. It may be another problem. It may be another issue. And God may come to you and he might say to you, hey, that's over now. It's time for you to go back to where you need to be. It's time for you to go back to where you need to be. And I want to encourage you this morning, pardon me, that just as those first three words says, when Herod died, God has a plan for your life. There may be moves that you make that you're never intended to. You may end up standing there and flourishing better than you ever thought, because again, God knows the beginning from the end. And there may be times you move to a certain place and God will say, right, it's time to bring you back to where you were, because now it's time. Now things have been made straight. Now there's been plans that have been created. Now there's been things that have been moved out of the way. There was someone trying to take your life, but he's gone now. There was someone that was trying to take your life, but he is gone now. And so I want to encourage you that our God is an unstoppable God, and he will use everything that is formed against us, and he'll turn it around for good. But there will be an end. There will be an end to the challenges that we face. There will be an end to the foes. There will be an end to the trials. There will be an over. Our God is a supernatural God. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows all the middles. He knows all the middles. He knows everything that we will face in between, ups and downs. And here's what I love. You read it all the time, but it says he has angels in his armies. I think Isaiah 9, Heather read it last night, and it says the angel army declared this. I mean, God has angels at his disposal. I mean, people just think that that's just, I don't know, a TV show or this or that, or it just sounds a bit freaky. These angel guys, I mean, they're amazing. You know, you just need to read about it. They're absolutely amazing. God has every weapon, everything, every angel, whatever he needs at his disposal to fulfill his great plans and his great purposes for his glory in your life. Finally, last point, and then I think the kids are going to come and sing for us in just a moment. There's no more vulnerable estate than a baby. Just no more vulnerable estate. There's no more vulnerable estate because there's no more, you can't get any more helpless than a baby. You just cannot get any more helpless than a baby. It just needs everything done for itself. It's totally dependent. Totally dependent. So much so it can't even go to the toilet for itself, can't feed itself, can't do anything. You know what I mean? Anything can happen to a baby when it's left alone. Unfortunately, you hear of all sorts of things because a baby cannot survive on its own. It needs people around it. It's weak. But here's the great news about a baby. It's never really stressed. It's never really worried. It's never really anxious. It's never really nervous for the things that are going to happen. Why? Because a baby's got it all figured out. A baby's got it all figured out. My mom or my dad is going to sort this out for me. My dad is going to make this happen. I know that I'm going to cry enough and they're going to come to me. You know what I mean? That's just one kind of shout that it can make. I'm going to cry. I'm going to cry. I'm going to cry. I'm going to cry. And if I don't cry, I'm probably going to do something else and it'll make them do something. But I'm going to do something that's going to promote them or prompt them to do something for me. God is saying this morning, it is a childlike faith that we need. It's what we start off with. And I wonder this morning, do we need to get back to a childlike faith just to make sure that that foundation is secure and then build from that? I don't want us to stay as children in the sense the Bible tells us, come on, we want to get off the milk, we want to get off the rashers, we want to move forward and get into the steak dinners or whatever way you want to put it. But we got to be careful that we've planted the right foundation, that we're standing on the right things. Because if later on down the line we're getting consumed with worry, what went wrong? If later on down the line we're getting consumed with stress, there's something that's shifted, there's something that's changed. Now, don't get me wrong when I say I never worry or I never stress. I worry just as much as the best of us. But I'm trying with all strength and with all faith in a great God to try and worry less. Because I know that God's got it covered. I know that he's got it covered. And I'm trying with all faith and with all might in a good God and with the strength that he has placed in me to go for that more than the stress. To go for that more. To go for the trust more. To go for the confidence more. To go for the knowledge more that I know that God is for me and he is not against me. And so if just for a few moments, if we need to go back to a baby, then let's just do that to build the foundation. And then let's move forward with strength, with passion, with enthusiasm, and with confidence. But let me finish with this last thought. No more tricky a position to put Jesus in than to bring him in as a baby. Just no more tricky. But God was fully confident in his unstoppable ability. He was fully confident in that. If it was me or you, how would we have sent Jesus in? We would have sent him in on a white horse or something. We would have sent him in with an Iron Man suit. We would have sent him in, you know what I mean? Just like fully grown, ready to go. Nobody's going to touch him. He'll beat anybody up that stands in his way. He is untouchable. I've come to save the world. That's it. You know, kind of, I don't know, whatever your movie hero scenario is or movie hero person is, you know, it's just going to be like that. It's going to be like that. But God had a better plan. He had a better plan. He sent him in the most vulnerable state because he knew he was an unstoppable God. And so this morning, I want to encourage you. If you're in a vulnerable state, it's happened before, God was proved good. He's still in the business of doing good. I want to encourage you this morning, if you're in that state, feeling that state, ever getting that state, we serve an unstoppable God. He has plans. He has purposes. He will bring you through. Amen. Can we stand together? We're going to pray, and then the kids are going to sing to us. Lord, we love you this morning. We worship you because you are so great. I thank you, Lord, that in our weaknesses, you are proved even greater. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that we're not trying to become superheroes, but instead we serve the best hero the world has ever seen. You define the word, you redefine the word, and we just change it to God because you are amazing. You're Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you this morning, Lord, that you're just as real today as you were back then. I thank you today that even though you're not here in flesh, you are here with us through the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you that you're not just one person, but you're three persons, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Even to get our heads right, that is just enormous. God, you're an undefeated, unstoppable, unchanging God. You're amazing. And I thank you, Lord, that even in our vulnerable states, and even when we think we're super, we're still so close to weak you wouldn't believe. But God says, if you'll put your trust in me, I will save you. If you will put your trust in me, I will save you from a lost eternity. And so I encourage us, just as we're finishing today, put your trust in Jesus. Put your trust in God. It will save you from a lost eternity. It will save you from the worst possible imaginable eternity that you could ever think of. And it will transform your life from the bottom to the top. And it will transform your life from hopelessness to full of hope, from lost to found, living with Jesus, not only in this life, but in the life to come forever and ever and ever. And Lord, I pray this morning that we all know this unstoppable God. And if we don't, Lord, I pray that just over this Christmas season, or maybe even today, or maybe even after today, will come and just say, hey, I'd love you to pray with me. Lord, I thank you for the person that give their hearts to, that give their heart back to you or give their heart to you last night, made themselves right with you, God. And we give you praise for that. But I wonder this morning if there's anyone or more than one that just needs to make their heart right with God. And just in these moments, we just, our eyes are closed, we're just worshiping God and we're just thinking about that. But I wonder this morning, is there anybody just needs to make themselves right with God? Lord, this is a personal thing. It's between you and them. But Lord, just in this moment, I pray you just draw. Pray you just draw, Lord, people to your heart. All of us to your heart. All of us, Lord.